As Al said, my name's Dave. And if you're a visitor here this morning, and it's great to see a number of visitors here with us this morning, you might be wondering why you've got two Scottish accents here in the centre of Cardiff. I've been in Wales 20 years this month, and for the last 15 years I've been here in fellowship at MAC. I say that as context for what I'm going to talk about this morning in terms of understanding fellowship. I could take all of the time that I've got this morning talking about the joy that it has been to be in fellowship here at MAC over those number of years. For my experience and enjoyment, and for the many that have modelled practical and spiritual fellowship in my life and in the life of my family here at MAC, for which I am really thankful. So if you are a visitor here with us this morning, welcome. It's great to see you. And I hope what we'll be talking about this morning might be helpful. So I wonder what you think of when you hear the word fellowship. What does true fellowship look like in church? You may have an idea. Is it the tea and biscuits after the service? Or better still, is it the spaghetti bolognese that Jen and Pete have been preparing for Sunday at 1 today for families? And I would say the answer is yes. It's yes, and yet it is more than either of those good things. True fellowship is both practical and spiritual. Google reckons that fellowship is a friendly feeling between a group of people. A friendly feeling between a group of people. I hope this morning we might see that it is something much deeper and better than that. Let's turn to God's word. Let's read in 1 John chapter 1 and the first four verses. And hopefully that should come on the screen. Thanks, Ben. Reading in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have heard and seen, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. The New Testament, which was written in Greek, gives us a beautiful and powerful word, koinonia. We've just read it twice in our passage, both times here interpreted as the word fellowship. In total, koinonia is found 19 times in the New Testament across a whole variety of books, but it's not always translated as the word fellowship. Most of the time it is, but not always. Depending on the context, it can also be translated as communion, as sharing, as participation, and as said, most commonly, fellowship. And I think those other words help us to understand something more of the meaning of fellowship, communion, sharing, participation. You see, it's not just about being together. It's not just about the tea and biscuits. As we've read, it's about being united in Christ and sharing life with one another. Here's the heart of today's message. We can never be truly united with one another unless we are first united with Christ. So that brings me to my first point, which is fellowship with God. It's where all true fellowship begins, with God himself. We see it in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, fellowship with God was rooted in covenant. God said to his people, "I will be your God and you will be my people." But access to God was limited. It was mediated through priests and sacrifices and sacred spaces like the temple and the tabernacle. People like Enoch and Moses walked with God. That's fellowship. But the average person couldn't just walk into God's presence. There were boundaries, holy boundaries, to fellowship with God. And in the New Testament, we see that fulfilled when Jesus came. Through his death and resurrection, the veil was torn. Fellowship with God became personal. It became intimate. It became direct. It became relational. That we can know fellowship with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1, it said, "Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Isn't that amazing? That we can know fellowship with God. We can know that through the work of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't just dwell among us, he dwells within us. We are invited into the very life of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, a divine fellowship that overflows into our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14 concludes the letter with these words. It says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, koinonia, of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Fellowship is a Trinity thing. It all starts with knowing who God is and that he wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Moving on to point number 2. Fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. If fellowship with God is the root, then fellowship with one another is the fruit. Or if you like, if fellowship with God is vertical fellowship, then fellowship with one another is horizontal fellowship. We see the fruit of that fellowship with God in the way that we interact with one another. If you're interested, have a look in your Bible at how often that phrase appears in the New Testament. It'll give you an idea of just how important it is, our fellowship with one another. So we're going to read again in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, where we see the early church living out koinonia. Thanks, Ben. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." What did it look like in the early church, in the New Testament church? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, as we've done this morning, to prayer, and to fellowship. It's right up there in that list. They shared meals, possessions, and lives. They worshiped together, served together, And they suffered together. This wasn't just community, a friendly feeling. It was more than that. It was spiritual communion with God and with one another. And here's the key. Their unity, their fellowship, wasn't based on personality or background or preference. It wasn't based on that kind of friendly feeling. It was based on being united with Christ, which overrides all of those other background, context, personality, preference. The church is not a social club. There's many social clubs, good social clubs that you can join, be it sport or arts or whatever it might be. There are plenty of good social clubs that you can enjoy the activities. The church is not just a social club. It's a spiritual family that we can enter into when we know God as our Father. You see, fellowship is not, it's not a passive thing. It's not a certificate or a qualification that we might hold and then we put it on the shelf and that's fellowship. No, it's an active thing. It requires action. It requires endurance. It's a continual pursuit that we might be able to enjoy fellowship with one another. What does fellowship look like at MAC? Well, you might have seen on one of the slides earlier, we have certain values that we hold up as part of the fellowship at MAC. They are lifting up, building up, reaching out. And we've recently added to those. They are showing up, offering up, and lifting up. To help us understand and illustrate just a little bit more what it means to be part of the fellowship at MAC. What do those phrases have in common? If you're an English student, you might notice that they are all in the present continuous tense. There's something that we do and that we keep on doing, that we keep showing up, that we keep offering up. It's not something that's done, it's something that we keep on doing. Fellowship with one another is an active thing. Not that we trust in those acts for our salvation. That work is done. But the outpouring of that in our lives should be seen in our fellowship with one another. We sometimes sing, "O foolish pride, be crucified, the work is finished. All my boast is in Jesus." But the outpouring of our new life in Christ should be seen in what we do. There are other aspects of fellowship that I'm going to touch on very briefly as part of our fellowship with one another. I'm not expecting you to remember all of these verses. I'm going to go quite quickly through this next little section. We see fellowship in mission. MAC is a church that has a great fellowship in mission. We see that in Philippians 1, verse 5. Galatians 2, verse 9, highlight partnership in gospel work, in mission, in prayer, and in financial support. In Romans 15, verse 26, and 2 Corinthians 8 to 9, we see fellowship in giving, fellowship in sharing of material and financial resources. It's a spiritual act of sharing. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, we see fellowship in the Lord's Supper, in the breaking of bread, as we've experienced this morning. It's that participation in and sharing in the sufferings of Christ Jesus. That's what fellowship looks like. Point number three, fellowship and sacrifice. Fellowship and sacrifice. I've said that fellowship is about action, it's about endurance. there's a sense in which fellowship, true fellowship, involves sacrifice. And if I'm being honest, and if I'm being honest with you, then that means it's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. Because it can be costly, and it can cost us something of our own preferences. When we experience that true fellowship with one another, true fellowship is sacrificial. We see that in the breaking of bread. We see that when we look to the cross. To share in Christ, to be united in Christ, is to share in his sufferings. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 speaks of the fellowship, the participation of his sufferings. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection, and participation, fellowship in his sufferings. True fellowship involves sacrifice, and it also involves suffering. Fellowship is also incredibly joyful. As I said at the outset this morning, it is incredibly joyful, but it is also costly. I'd like to suggest if we're simply relying on a friendly kind of feeling amongst a group of people, that's not going to hold it. That's not going to keep us united together when we're faced with sacrifice and when we're faced with suffering. I wonder if you might be thinking this morning, as I'm talking about this, you might be thinking, I don't think I can do it. The cost is too much. The standard is too high in terms of that true fellowship with one another. I know where you're coming from. I can hear that. I can see that. I can feel that in my own life. And you know, the truth is, I don't think I can do it. I don't think we can do it. Not in our own strength, but I do believe that God can do it through us and in us. That is the good news. I believe that God can do it in us and through us because of the work of his Holy Spirit. Yet not I, but Christ in me. We can know what it is to have fellowship that is sacrificial and involves suffering. Moving on, point number four, fellowship, the joys and the risks. I've said I could have taken all the time to talk about the joys, and I truly believe that. Some of the joys that we experience in true fellowship, deep relationships that are rooted in a relationship with Jesus Christ, mutual encouragement and spiritual growth, serving together with purpose, experiencing God's presence in our community here at MAC. What joy we can know in fellowship together. But you know, you might be here this morning and that might not be your experience all of the time of fellowship. Sadly, that can be the case. But before I talk about some of the risks to fellowship where we can have disruption and a lack of unity, I just want to say this. There are times when we can be sad as a fellowship that is an act of unity and true fellowship together. Let me try and expand that a little bit further. There are times when we will experience sadness individually, and if we are united together, then we will experience that as a fellowship. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That kind of collective sadness and mourning is a blessing and a beautiful thing about true fellowship together. Sadly, there are other times when we might experience sadness and sorrow as a fellowship that are not as a result of that unity and being united in Christ. I'm going to pick up verses 5 and 7 of 1 John chapter 1 that we read the first four verses of earlier. And as I read this, I would like you to see the incompatibility of fellowship with sin in these verses. The incompatibility of fellowship with sin. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You see, sin in our lives doesn't just affect us. It affects other people too. And when we are united together in fellowship, it will bring sorrow and sadness to those that we are united with. Because, as I've been describing, we are all in it together. We are united together when we are in fellowship together. And sadly, sin in fellowship, as I've said, it's incompatible. It doesn't go together like light and darkness. And some of the results of that can be misunderstanding and conflict, disappointment or betrayal, being taken advantage of, knowing pain in our lives. Sadly, this can all be common in churches. We can experience that disruption to that fellowship, that joy of fellowship that we want to know and be a part of. But here's the good news. When Christ is at the center, even the risks and challenges become opportunities for grace, for growth, for reconciliation, and for fellowship to be restored. That's when Christ is at the center. If Christ is not at the center, we will not be able to experience that unity and joy of fellowship. If we put ourselves or anything else or anyone else at the center, we will not experience that joy of fellowship. Fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. So in finishing, let's come back to where we started. We can never be truly united with one another unless we are first united with Christ. If we are each drawing near to Jesus, we will inevitably draw near to each other. If we are each individually drawing near to Jesus. Think about the reverse of that statement, because I believe that is also true. What happens if we are not individually drawing near to Jesus? What does that mean for our collective fellowship? Koinonia captures the full spectrum of Christian life. Communion with God, unity among believers, shared mission, participation in the sacrament, the breaking of bread that we've experienced this morning, suffering and generosity. Wherever the Spirit unites believers to Christ and to one another, true fellowship flourishes, revealing the life, joy, and wonder of the triune God to those around us. So I'd like to leave you with this threefold challenge that's at three different levels. As an individual, how can you deepen your fellowship with God by drawing near to Jesus. Remember, that's where it all starts, fellowship with God. How can you deepen your fellowship with God? Number two, as part of a fellowship, as part of the church, how can we pursue authentic, grace-filled relationships? And number three, as part of the wider community, how can we reflect the love and the unity of the Trinity in our community? As an individual, as a fellowship, as a wider community, a wider world. I'll leave you with those couple of things to think about. And if you have any questions about how you would do any of those things, or how we can help support you in that, by all means come and have a chat with me or with Al or with anyone else that you might know here this morning. It would be great to do so.